Expectations. Lord Jesus of deliverance, Lord Jesus completing those things that have been started, Lord God, and to bless the souls of the listeners, Lord. But we ask these blessings in the mighty name of Jesus. Remember those that are sick in their bed, can't rise up, would be in service, Lord. For different reasons, they are not, Lord, but you understand. Lord God, visit them right where they are, Lord. Minister to their hearts, Lord God, in the mighty name of Jesus. We'll be careful to give your name the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to be reading open scripture from the Psalms 67, and then we're back in the hands of the praise singers. The psalmist says, God be merciful unto us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us, Selah, that thy way may be known upon earth, thy saving health among all nations. Let the people praise thee, O God, let all the people praise thee. O let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nation upon the earth, Selah. Let the people praise thee, O God, let all the people praise thee. Then shall the earth yield her increase, and God, even our God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fill him. Amen. Again, that is Psalm 67, 1 through 7. God bless you.
Oh,
Certainly, it is not just a song, but it's something that we should be doing. It falls right in line with what we want to talk about this morning, and that is calling upon the Lord. The Bible tells us over in Luke, the 11th chapter, beginning at the 9th verse, if you have your Bibles or devices, I ask that you would turn there. But it's Luke, the 11th chapter, the 9th through the 13th verse, and it reads, "And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asks, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you, that is his father, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him?" When we consider the verses that have been read, the disciples was with Jesus while he was praying. Jesus had taken a moment to pray, and they were watching and listening. I don't know how much they were gathering, but he was in a certain place, and when he had stopped praying, his disciples asked him, they said, "Lord, teach us to pray." You know, it's good if you don't know something to ask somebody. If you think you know, you need to verify and make sure. If you don't have the answer at the moment, let them know you don't know, but then look it up. They asked Jesus to teach us to pray. And as John taught his disciples, so John was on his job teaching his disciples, and they wanted to know how to pray also. And he said unto them, when you pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is in debt to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Jesus is teaching them how to entreat the Lord. How to entreat. You know, entreating someone, you ask them for something, you need to know how to entreat them to get the most out of your request. Jesus was telling them to reverence him for who he is and to acknowledge his name and to invite him into your realm. And this is not by incident, it's not by accident, it is deliberate and intentional. And so to ask and expect support from him. Not only do we ask and expect report, but we should seek God's forgiveness and forgive others also. And to avoid all unrighteousness. Learning to entreat God is important because you're going to have to entreat others even in this life. To entreat means to ask a person earnestly or to beseech or to implore or to beg. Like asking, when you ask for a favor, you're asking someone, and sometimes you may have to ask a few different times. It means to ask for something and to, you might have to treat your coworker or someone out to lunch or dinner or something to persuade them to get what you want. He placed the emphasis after teaching them how to pray. The Lord didn't spend a lot of time teaching them. He told them very specifically what they should be asking for, what they should be considering. And so he placed emphasis on being consistent. There's something about the relationship that allows us to be demanding in the relationship. It could be midnight. He gave the illustration about going to a friend's house, and so it could be midnight. You're asking the Lord for something in the wee hours of the morning. And so he gives this illustration and talks to him about being consistent and says, not because he's your friend, but because of inopportunity, will he get up and answer your request? Even though he may have said, don't bother me at the moment. The door is closed. The kids are in bed. And, you know, I don't want to disturb the house. But the Lord was telling them that even with that, don't stop praying. No matter what it might look like. The Lord was emphasizing the consistency of prayer. Prayer will disrupt some things. It was late in the evening. Everybody was comfortable. And the door was locked. But prayer will disrupt that too. So he told them, he said, be consistent and don't stop praying. When Jesus began to teach them how to pray, or to teach them about prayer, he started with an individual aspect. Then he drove his point home by presenting several narratives using friends and family. He wanted to make sure that everybody standing around got it. It's important that when we are out in ministry, when we're out witnessing, when we're out speaking in other places, that we give a relatable illustration. That's what Jesus was doing. His illustration was relatable to those that was around him. Everybody that was standing there could understand what Jesus was talking about. Everybody was there could understand what he meant because it related to their lifestyle. Our personal life experience and testimonies go a long ways in helping others understand that Jesus is real. Transparency used to be a taboo in the church. But transparency, thank God that wisdom came along and helped us understand that transparency is needed to build faith and reliability on God's word
and to know with assurance that God is a deliverer, that God forgives. You know, he told Peter, he said, if your brother offend you seven times seven in a day, how much more does God forgive us? Someone is walking around thinking that God has not, that God is still holding something against them. God has never been holding anything against you. God let things go. We walk around because the enemy put the things on our mind and they hold us hostage in order to control us. But understand something today, that God moves on past that. God forgives and he lets it go. I know what it means to, you know, Jesus gave the illustration about a friend and, you know, and about family asking, going to them and asking them for something. I'm sure that you may have your own story, but I know what it means when the bread basket gets low and you need a friend to lend you money to buy diapers or to get some food in the house. And so, therefore, you need to make sure that your friends, those that you are friends with, are someone that is capable and able to assist. And if their turn comes around, you should be able to sacrifice and assist them as well. There may come a time, Jesus mentioned family. And you know, there's no one like mom or dad. You know, even in all of our craziness, God will provide more than a friend and better than mom and dad. Again, the Lord places a strong emphasis on being persistent. He said, I say unto you, and so he was talking to the disciples, but this morning we need to direct that to ourselves, that he is talking to me and he's talking to you. He said, I say unto you that ask and it shall be given you. He said, seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be open unto you. I looked at that. I'm like, well, Lord, you said ask. You said seek. You said knock. What are you saying here? It embodies, or when we look at the word ask, A-S-K, all of that is there. Ask, A-S-K, seek, S-E-E-K, knock, K-N-O-C-K. You take the first letter of each one of those, it says ask. And so the exhortation is simple. You have to ask, and you have to keep asking, and don't stop asking. God is saying it's not too much. My mind goes to the unjust judge where the woman was bothering him so much that the man, I don't know, the man, when he went home at night, he might have thought about that woman. When he was on his way to the office, he thought about, am I going to see that woman? When he got out of his cart, out of his horse or whatever mode of transportation he used, or when he walked up to the building, there was that woman. Bless you, Lord God. She kept asking. And so God is telling us to keep asking. Jesus delivered this message to his disciples after they had requested, teach us to pray. Praying is essential in the life of every believer. Prayer is mentioned 245 times in the Old Testament and 68 times in the New. Prayer is how we obtain direction from the Lord. The Bible tells us over in Proverbs, the third chapter, the first through the sixth verse, it says, my son, forget not my law, but let thy heart keep my commandments. Don't forget what I tell you. Don't forget what you hear. Don't forget what the minister is saying. Don't forget what whoever God used to give you instructions. Don't forget it, but hold on to it and embed it within your heart. He said, for thy length, the length of days and long life and peace shall be added to you. If you do this, if you commit the word of God to your heart, then you're also adding length of days, long life, and peace. He said, let not mercy and truth forsake thee, but bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of your heart. So shall you find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. He said, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your understanding. And he said, in all thy ways, we're familiar with this here, in all thy ways, acknowledge him and he shall direct thy path. In order to accomplish this, you got to pray. Not only when you read the word of God, in order to commit the word into your heart, you got to pray. Because you've got to pray for an understanding. Lord, help me to understand what your word is saying. Lord, help me so I know how to apply your word in the situation that I'm in. I need to apply your word in this day. You woke me up this morning, started me on my way, and I need to apply your word in today. As I go through the day, I need to know how and what to do with what I have received. Christianity is more than a belief system. It is something we practice. The saints were mocked at Antioch because they mirrored Jesus Christ. They saw them doing things that they knew Jesus did, that they knew the followers of Jesus did. They saw them doing things, and they made up a name for them and called them Christians. When we consider ourselves as believers, are we practicing believers? When we say, I'm a Christian, am I practicing Christianity? Oh, bless your Lord. The Bible says that he gave these instructions, said, my son, don't forget what you've learned, but allow your heart to keep the commandment of the Lord. By doing this, we add quality to our life. We add time to our life. We add peace to our life. He said, wear mercy and truth as if you were wearing Michael Kors. Put it on right and show it off. Something you desire from Macy's, put it on. A fashion item from Tiffany's, wear it. And wear it and show that you're proud to have it on. Make your boast in the Lord. The Bible said, the humble are here and be glad. We have to look at it. We have to look at mercy and truth. And we have to look at it in such a way that is so valuable, that is better than the things that were just mentioned. And that when I'm wearing it, I know that others are going to see it and they're going to admire it. You ever saw somebody wearing something nice and you admired it and you was ready to go out and get your own because it looked good on them and you said to yourself, I'm going to make that look good. Bless your Lord. It's going to look good on me. Mercy and truth looks good on you. Bless your Lord God. And so others is going to look at it and they're going to say, mercy and truth looks good. I wonder what it would look like if I put it on today. If I put on mercy and truth, will it look as good on me as it does on them? Of course it will. Bless your Lord God. Oh, that's a reason to give God some praise. Somebody's mind will be stirred up to put on some mercy and truth. All because they saw it on you. All because they realize that it's wearable, that it's fashionable, it's not outdated. I don't have to, bless your Lord God, but I'm going to put on some mercy into truth. Hallelujah. That's why we shop. We see someone else with a nice shirt. We see them with Hugo Boss on and Ralph Lauren and Lacoste and we say, wow, that look nice. I like that Nike shirt. I like that Adidas shirt. I'm going to get me one. I'm going to get some mercy and truth and I'm going to put it on. I'm going to wear it just as proud as I would anything else. It's appealing and you make it look good. Bless your Lord God. When we wear it with our head up, not with our head hung down. But we know that we are in fashion and that we are in line with the word of God and everything that governs the universe. Again, he places this on the top of your heart. Make your heart support mercy and truth. And he said, you'll have a good understanding and favor with God and people. All of us want favor with God. All of us want favor with man. I don't know a time that I didn't ask for something, that I wasn't looking for some favor. I was looking for them to say yes. Whether they said no, I was still hoping they would say yes. Bless your Lord God. Trust God with all your heart, all your ability, and don't spin your wheels trying to figure it out. It's a waste of time. I've done that. Had bloopers. And so bloopers can go a long ways, but we have to cut the bloopers out, amen, and create a better picture. But when I stop trying to figure it out and begin trusting, the bloopers stop, and life got better. God's not wearing my watch. He's not wearing or using my Samsung. Or he's not counting the hours in a day like we do. The Bible said that Daniel had prayed. God has his own time. But Daniel had prayed. And he was in an emotional state of disruption. Something was bothering him. The Bible said that Daniel was messed up for 3 weeks. That he was all just torn apart because of what was going on. And he wouldn't eat. He couldn't eat. You ever found yourself in that situation where you just can't eat? You just can't drink? You don't know what to do? You don't have a taste for food? You don't want to drink nothing? People ask you, what's the matter? And you know, we go into the denial state and say, well, nothing's wrong. And what we're really saying is that I don't want to bother you with it because I know there's nothing you can do about it. Bless you, Lord God. For some folks, it's just not your business. And so the Bible said that Daniel was messed up. That Daniel was all disturbed. And he couldn't eat or drink anything. Daniel was one day was out taking care of business. And he said he was had a vision. And no one else saw the vision but him. Maybe you like Daniel. You had a vision and nobody else saw it. You know, sometimes you have a vision and you can't tell nobody about it because they didn't see the vision. God gave the vision to you. He gave it to you to encourage your heart, that caused you to hold on. Nobody else saw it. Nobody else understood it. But God gave the vision to you. My God. And so the Bible said that he saw a vision. And everybody else that was with him, they didn't see it, but they felt something. The atmosphere changed. They became afraid and they began to fled. They felt the power of God. When you talk about the vision, they may not be able to embrace it, but they feel that there's something going on. They feel and understand that there is a power that is driving us behind the vision. Bless your Lord God. And so Daniel said that the vision was powerful. It changed the atmosphere because it was a visitation. The messenger told him, he said, Daniel, from the first day that you prayed, and you set your heart to understand some things, and you begin to talk to God, you begin to ask God, God sent an answer. But something happened along the way. While I was bringing an answer to you, the king of Persia got in the way and began to hold me up. He withstood me. He stood by me. He stood around me. He surrounded me. His presence was overwhelming, and I could not get to you. This happened 21 days ago. How many times have we prayed and we thought maybe God didn't hear us? We prayed and was wondering what happened. Maybe our prayer bounced off the ceiling. Maybe it was something I did and God's not happy with me. Oh, bless you, Lord God. But that's not it. The king of Persia had withstood the answer, had withstood the messenger of God. And he said that God sent someone else, sent Michael, the archangel, to come and to release him. One of the chief priests came and helped me out and remained there with the king of Persia. My God, helped the king of Persia captive. Instead of him holding the angel captive, the angel is now holding the king of Persia captive and released him to go to Daniel and to help him to understand. Daniel, I know you're emotionally disturbed. Your emotions have been taxed, and you thought the prayer was not heard. But I'm here today to tell you that God heard the prayer, and he answered it many days ago. Somebody's wondering why they didn't get an answer. It's right here. I want you to understand something today, that we're not just in the battlefield for our life, but it's a war. It's a war of the anointed. When you go to God and pray, it's a war of the anointed. You invite God in. Tell him, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. It's a war of the anointed. When you tell God, thy will be done. Here on earth, as it is in heaven. It's a war of the anointed. You're bombarding heaven. You're invading the space of the enemy. The king of the atmosphere is now being overwhelmed by your wings. The atmosphere has been troubled because you prayed, because you asked, because you were seeking, because
because you was knocking. You was making noise. He couldn't stand it. My God, what are we doing? It's a war of the anointed. Bless the Lord God. This is a war. It's a war of the anointed. You see, you anointed now. When God comes into your life and anoints you and blesses you and fills you with the Holy Ghost and gives you His word and says, speak my word. And you know, my word is nigh you in your mouth. And you know, it's to pray without ceasing. You're starting a warfare at that point. And the enemy can't stand it. Because you used to be on the enemy side. But now you're on God's side. Bless your Lord God. You used to get away with things. But now you govern yourself. And say, wait a minute. I'm on the Lord's side now. I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord. I believe I die in the army of the Lord. Bless your name. It's a warfare of the anointed. Maybe nobody told you that, but it's a warfare of the anointed. That anointed cherub is now disturbed. The atmosphere is disrupted. Oh, bless your Lord God. You ever stop to pray? You make up in your mind, say, I'm going to do something for God. And all of a sudden that day, everything went wrong. You say, I'm going to go home and pray. And all of a sudden, the kids start acting up. The phone start ringing. And somebody start knocking at the door. And, you know, it's just all kind of disruption come because you had a plan to pray. Bless your Lord. So sometimes we have to go into that covert action. We have to go undercover. Sometimes we can't talk about what we're going to do. We just got to go in the closet and don't tell nobody and shut the door and start praying right there at that moment. Because see, then the enemy don't know until one of his messengers see that you were winning the cause. Because they don't know what you're getting ready to do. Bless the Lord God. My God. But once you start praying, you start bombarding the enemy's territory. Because see, in order for God's kingdom to come, in order for God to come into your realm, it's got to come from above, and it's going to come down through his realm. It's going to come through the enemy's domain. And it's going to disrupt some things. It's going to mess some things up. It's going to tear up his plan. There's nothing he can do when God starts to invade the territory. Bless your name, Jesus. The Lord said, knock. Knock. He said to seek and to ask. So what are we going to do with this? We're going to continue to ask. We're going to fight. Not the person next to us. Not the person that comes to our mind. But we're fighting knowing that there is an anointed cherub. There's an anointed cherub that would resist you if you stop praying. So let me tell you, it's best to keep on praying. Because the enemy is going to fight because you had a taste of success. You have a taste of God answering the prayer. You have felt the victory. And so he is your eternal enemy. Bless your Lord. Your fight is not against the person next to you. But it is against that anointed chair. You invited the kingdom and the kingdom is coming. You disrupted the prince of the air and his power. When you call upon the will of God to come into this life, to come into your life, to come into the children's life, to come into your home, to ride in your car, you disrupted some things. When we ask, it means that we're being audible. But there are times that we pray within. The Bible said that Hannah, I believe it was Hannah, that word, she was so overwhelmed with what was going on in her life. And she was so overwhelmed with the person that the devil was using. That when she went to the altar, that the priest saw her and said, you know, you're down there drunk. Don't come in the house of God drunk. And she said, I haven't been drinking. I'm just so overwhelmed. I'm just so grieved with what's going on in my life. And, you know, someone thought that saints don't become overwhelmed. They don't become grieved. They don't become depressed. They don't become distraught. They don't become, you know, none of those things affect us. But that's not Scripture. The Scripture said that Paul, even the Apostle Paul, said he was perplexed, he was stressed, he was distressed, and you know, he didn't know where the next meal was coming from. Things was really bad, and we won't go into that right now, but just understand that things happen. Someone else phrased it like this and said, bad things happen to good people. And so they when they talk about sackcloth and ashes, that individual is stressed out. But they're praying and keeping their focus on God. No matter how stressed you might become, your mind has to keep saying, but God, for God I live, and for God I die. No matter what, I'm going to keep asking God. So I'm bombarding the atmosphere with an audible sound. I'm seeking, which means that I'm pursuing it. I'm looking for every place I go. I'm looking for whatever you ask God about, whatever you're seeking God for, you're pursuing it. You ever walk down the street and you see something that looks like, man, that looks like some money on the ground. And so you look at it, you're looking for it. Or maybe you found some money and you're looking to see if there's more. You found something and it just might be in the vicinity right where you're at. And so I'm saying that wherever you are, you've got to look. Is there an opportunity? Is there something here that I can gain and glean off of? Is there something here that's going to add that God can bring to pass because I prayed and I asked God? Not means that I'm applying pressure. I'm applying pressure to this with this prayer. I'm not just asking, Lord, can you bless me? But I'm asking, Lord, bless me. Your word says that if I ask, it will be given. If I ask according to your will, then you're going to give it to me. So I'm going to line up with your will. Remember, that's what the Lord told the disciples to do. He said, your thy will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. So I'm lining up with your will. So that whatever I ask is in your will. And then I'm pursuing it. I'm seeking it. And I'm applying pressure. We have to apply the pressure to our prayer. Bless you, Lord God. When he went to his neighbor and asked for bread and knocked on the door, he was applying pressure because he wouldn't leave. We have to apply the same pressure. I'm through. I'm done. I hope something has been said that has been a blessing unto you. But let's continue to ask God, no matter what it is, when the enemy tells you that God didn't hear your prayer, and it is the enemy that will tell you that, not God. Because his ears is open to our cry. So it's the enemy that say, God didn't hear you. God's prolonging the time or not bringing it to pass. No. There may be some things that God is working out in you. There's certainly been some things that God worked out in me. And then he brought things to pass. Bless you, Lord. How about you today? Let's continue to ask. Let's continue to seek God and to know that he is on our side. Amen. Again, we thank God for his word today. Thank God for those of you that will hear and listen and obey the word of God. Look forward to seeing you. Thank God for Brother Godson Bill today and Minister Griffin. Amen. Thank God for all that he is going to do. I say that with certain expectancy because God has shown some things. And in his time, he'll bring it to pass. Amen and amen. Bless your name, Jesus. Questions about anything that was said? Amen. Bless your Lord. Gregory, do you have any questions? You do? No? Not today? You do? What do you have a question? You got a shot? Okay. You got 5 shots? All right. Come here. He went to the doctor the other day. He got 5 shots. Thank you.
God bless you. Continue to remember us in prayer.